Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 19th of December. It's Friday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from a really, really cold, wet, rainy Washington, D.C. I wasn't sure if I was going to be doing the broadcast tonight. Frankly, I had too much for dinner. Usually these days, folks, you know, I'm a very, very fat, squat individual. And consequently, I found that one can feel much healthier if one does not overeat. Well, I overate tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, I'm feeling better, and I am here with you on this Friday night, live. I'm going to open up the phones for callers here. It's really, you know, it's funny. There's everything in the news, and yet not much in the news to talk about. I will tell you about a very interesting book. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it's a very interesting book, very interesting to me for a variety of reasons. And I think many of you listeners might find it of interest as well. I'll be telling you about that book in a little bit. I did want to mention our call last night from Carlos from California, who's a nice fellow. He's periodically called this show over the years. And we were talking about the most famous, most talked about subject in the world, I really do believe, Adolf Hitler. And Carlos is of the opinion that Adolf Hitler was, well, as he put, the best friend, one of the, I don't want to misquote him, but he said something along the lines of Hitler was a very good friend to the Jews, or was one of the best friends the Jews ever had. And this is an argument I have heard made that that if it wouldn't have been for Adolf Hitler, there would have never been a state of Israel. And a lot of people extrapolate on that argument to say that, well, Hitler was built up for the very purpose of causing World War II, and thus, during that time, carrying out the famous Holocaust for the purpose of setting in place a Jewish state in Palestine known as Israel. Now, I've read that many times in many books and pamphlets and on the internet many, many times over the years, but frankly, I don't believe it. And, of course, Carlos cited the works of Professor Anthony Sutton. Well, yes, Professor Anthony Sutton had a PhD, and he wrote some very interesting stuff, which I read back between those books. I read back probably sometime between 1976 and 1980 for the first time. I read all three of Anthony Sutton's books in that trilogy, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and Wall Street and FDR, I believe, is the third one. I have the title of the third one. But in any case, the books are very, very interesting and have a little, and as I say, though, they blind you with detail. And unfortunately, if you really start to look at the detail and look at the bigger picture and the thesis that Sutton is presenting, you will see that the thesis does not really stand up. They're very well-crafted books. And I can say that now after having spent the last, you know, since that time when I first read those books, I hadn't been a quote-unquote professional writer. There are many people who deny me even the status of journalist because they say that anyone who has an opinion critical of Israel and of Jewish power cannot be considered a real journalist or a real author or a real writer. I'm often just called a scribbler. Well, let me continue. I'm already going into the break here, but I want to talk further about the works of Anthony Sutton when I come back from my context as an editor and as a writer, whether you like my writing or not. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. Returning to the subject generally of this issue of Adolf Hitler purportedly being part of the New World Order's plan for the New World Order, that he was all set up in the first place to make possible the rise of a state of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. Well, much of this imagery, in fact, does stem from the works of Anthony Sutton, although there were other writers before him who put forth that kind of theory, and it often appeared in a breathless format like, oh, did you know that Hitler was funded by the Jewish bankers? This kind of approach. Well, you know, I first read the Sutton books when I was about, 16, 17, 18 years old. And I remember when I first got them in my hands, I got them through, I believe, the Conservative Book Club. Now, that in itself should tell you something. The Conservative Book Club was an affiliate of this Arlington House Publishers, and Arlington House Publishers was an operation that was in the sphere of influence of William F. Buckley, Jr., the late unlamented William F. Buckley, Jr., this old CIA hand who inserted all these old-line Trotskyites into the quote-unquote conservative movement in the United States. It had been never known as a conservative movement until Buckley took it over and made it the conservative movement. Prior to then, it was like the America First movement, a nationalist movement with both right and left wings, but but a movement that rejected U.S. intervention abroad. Well, Buckley got his hands on it, redubbed it the conservative movement. This was only after he brought in all the old Trotskyites. So anyway, it was this conservative book club that was part of the Buckley sphere from which I first obtained these, what I see are now very dubious books by Anthony Sutton. Now, even at the ages of, you know, whatever, how old I was, 16 or 17, and this is before I had embarked upon many years of writing and getting paid to do it and editing as well, I saw there were some holes in it, but I didn't quite know what they were. And because Anthony Sutton had a PhD, you know, that kind of, you know, who am I, a simple country boy, simple country bumpkin, up against someone with a PhD, somebody who actually went to the Hoover Institute at Stanford. You know what I mean? So I read the books. I thought they were very interesting, and I found myself getting caught up in that kind of rhetoric, too. I remember there was a period when I would say, well, yes, you know, Hitler was financed by the Jewish bankers. You know, I got into that rhetoric, too, at a time. You know, I used to go to these conservative conferences, and, you know, I would hear at conservative conferences, they would always say, well, you know, Liberty Lobby and all these anti-Semitic groups are actually financed by the Jews because the Jews are liberal and they want to discredit the conservative movement. And this was always muttered, you know, very knowingly by a host of people. You know, in other words, anybody who criticized the Jews wasn't really serious about it. They were actually working for the Jews, even though, of course, they wouldn't say this publicly. So there's all these funny little ins and outs in these circles that were promoting the works of Anthony Sutton. And unfortunately, because Anthony Sutton, you know, did have a PhD, and because he was a good writer, a very crafty writer who was able to craft his agenda in a way that was quite believable, and as I say, blind you with lots of details, a lot of people were taken in. And since the time of Anthony Sutton's writings, a lot of other writers have picked up on what he has written, not necessarily crediting him, and now that we have the Internet, it's taken on a life of its own. Now, Jim Mars has perpetuated a lot of the Anthony Sutton-style rhetorical flourishes, appearing on Alex Jones' show a couple weeks ago. Jim Mars talked about how the Rothschild family had not only set up communism, but also the State of Israel and Adolf Hitler, and went through the whole laundry list of all the conspiracies which could be traced back to this one family. Well, no, the Rothschild family did not set up Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler emerged from a political trend that was enveloping all of Europe precisely because of a reaction to communism and to the international bankruptcy that had swept those countries in, swept really all of the West. And the Nazis were not financed. There was at least one Jewish banker who did, in fact, put money into the Nazi Party to strengthen opposition to Hitler within the Nazi Party. So, no, Adolf Hitler was not financed by the Jewish bankers. But again, these are these myths out there, these myths that I work so relentlessly to combat. Anyway, I've spent more time perhaps on that than necessary, but then again, maybe more time is necessary to discuss it because, you know, we don't want to assume that every person who listens to this program, who listened to that program last night or who is listening tonight will be listening in the future or that they've listened to any other programs in the past. You know, we don't want to assume that things are static here. So it does bear repeating, folks, and I ask those of you who've heard it all before to forgive me, with the assurance that you will hear it all again at one point or another, because there will be another Carlos calling who will say precisely those same things. And I will just have to say, well, no, I'm sorry, caller, but you don't have your facts correct, not because you've come up with these facts, but because your sources on these facts are incorrect. I don't like to have to do that, but, you know, hey, sometimes it has to be done. Now, for a little shift of focus, before we go to the break, which is coming up in a few minutes, I must tell you that last evening I watched, I guess probably for the third time in maybe about 25 years, a film entitled Gentleman's Agreement. And it's a movie about anti-Semitism, and it was widely heralded at the time. Gregory Peck plays a reporter assigned to do a story about anti-Semitism, and he comes upon the idea of posing as a Jew. Well, you know, it's funny, folks. This movie is unintentionally funny. It's presented, you know, straight out dramatic, you know, very, very somber tones. But you know, really, when you start watching it, it's got an all-star cast in. And it's interesting because there's several subplots. There's a romantic subplot to the movie. And then there's yet another subplot where you just see the family interaction between Gregory Peck and his mother and his little boy. And it's interesting because as I was watching the movie, I was saying to myself, oh, my God, I said, you know, when they get talking about anti-Semitism, the actors and actresses just seem like they're mouthing lines that they don't, even if they do or do not necessarily believe them, they just aren't saying it with the right emphasis. It came across as kind of wooden and very, very overly dramatic, melodramatic. Well, after I watched the movie on DVD, I then rewatched the movie. I didn't exactly watch the movie. I listened to a commentary by a movie critic. And it's very, very interesting because even the movie critic reacted in the same way. He said, you know, he says, you know, when the movie is just going through its regular course and, you know, displaying these the interaction between the various people, you know, it all sounds for real. It all sounds, there's some very touching moments. There's this subplot with the great actress Anne Revere, who I always thought was a very charming lady. She plays Gregory Peck's mother in the film. Some nice scenes, family scenes there among them. But then when they get talking about the issue of anti-Semitism, as even the movie critic said, he said, normal people really just don't talk this way. In one scene, Gregory Peck and his romantic interest are talking, and the girlfriend says, we both agree that we've got to fight this evil together or something like this. And it's like really over the top. And what it reminds me of, ladies and gentlemen, is these politicians, when you see them speaking before groups like AIPAC, or as I once saw a politician speak before a synagogue, then Congressman Michael Barnes speaking before a synagogue right here in the Washington, D.C. area. And it really is over the top. I can recall Barnes saying, boy, I love to go to Israel. He said, everybody over there is just full of ideas and opinions, and you get 50 different ideas in a room full of 10 people, and, you know, it's just this thriving little democracy over there. Oh, I love Israel. It's so great. They have great food, and the beaches are wonderful, and, you know, this kind of talk. Well, this is the same kind of talk you get from politicians. You know, they trip over themselves to say how wonderful Israel is, you know, and then a lot of times, of course, then when they start, they really go out of their way to condemn Hitler and the Nazis because they always feel compelled. They're constantly seeing Hitler and the Nazis every day, all Hitler, all the time, on television, on radio, in publications. So they feel the need to mention how bad Hitler was, and then they always somehow get in trouble because they don't use the Hitler analogy precisely as Abe Foxman, who is the ultimate arbiter of how you're allowed to talk about Hitler, I guess. They don't always use it right. So this is kind of what you get with this movie, Gentleman's Agreement. So, folks, if you want to have some entertainment, I recommend that you see Gentleman's Agreement. It's available, I'm sure, in every video store in America, certainly available from the places that sell video dramas. It really is quite unintentionally funny. And as I say, when you watch it, you'll see precisely what I mean. When you hear Gregory Peck and all these actors and actresses shrieking and shouting and talking about anti-Semitism, it just doesn't even sound for real. It sounds like the rhetoric of politicians. These politicians who say these things that they don't even necessarily believe themselves. But they say it because they think it's expected of them. And indeed, it is expected of them. All right, folks, we're going to the break. We've got a full lineup of callers here, and I think I will go right to the callers after the break.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. In trying to contextualize my comments about Carlos's phone call and the works of Professor Anthony Sutton, I failed to mention the most important and relevant point, that as I said, I had read those books originally when I was about 18 years old, maybe, and I would refer back to them again time and again over the years, but then I didn't touch them for many years. And then pretty much after the advent of the Internet, I kept hearing more and more references to them and to the basic thesis therein. And then I picked the books up, and this is then again after many years of having worked as an editor and as a writer and having written books myself and having, you know, edited books for other people, et cetera, et cetera. And it was at that point then I could say authoritatively, to myself at least, in my own mind, that there were a lot of holes in Anthony Sutton's works. And that's the point that I never quite got around to making. Well, now I've made it. Let's go to the callers. Our first caller is Smitty in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Well, Brother Michael.
How are you, Smitty?
It's a long time. I finally got to listen to you on the Internet. I had withdrawal pains for a couple of years, and then at the time of the election, I needed some voice of sanity. So
I'm glad somebody thinks I'm sane.
I'll swear to it, and so will my other half.
Okay.
But you said something the other night that shocked and appalled me.
Okay.
And that is that you haven't shot a gun in so long that you don't remember what it feels like. And you better come out here to Wyoming, and we can run you through all the calibers known to man.
I'll tell you what, if I don't have to travel that far to Wyoming, all I need is to run up home to Pennsylvania, and they've got some guns up there that that some people may have never seen before.
Well, there's 1,348 machine gun holders in Wyoming out of 400,000 people, and between me and my buddy, we got every caliber known to man, and glad to see you come out here and do some shooting with us.
Well, maybe we'll have to arrange that.
Before those prairie dogs get on the endangered species list, or is that endangered feces? I forget now. But I just wanted to say keep up the good work, and enjoy listening to you, and I will be sending an email on your book, Final Judgment. I tried to read it, and I couldn't get through it. And I want to send you a few pointers, some constructive criticism.
All right. Sounds good to me. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Take care, Mike.
All right. Thanks for your call, Smitty.
Bye.
an invitation to go shooting. I don't know how anyone can turn that down. All right. Let's go. Well, let's go to my old home state of Pennsylvania, and we've got Jim in Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Listen, Mike, I want to both agree with you and disagree with you about the call last night from Carlos.
Okay.
And your conversation about Anthony Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eustace Mullins once remarked that he always thought that Anthony Sutton, I don't know if he said always thought, but he said at the end of towards Anthony Sutton's life, was he's been dead about 5 years now or so, that he thought he worked for British intelligence. You remember that, him making that comment?
You know, it's funny. I wouldn't have remembered that, but, you know, that does sound familiar now that you mention it. Yeah.
Well, anyway, listen, Mike, on Anthony Sutton, as you pointed out, one has to be very careful with him because in his book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, in his appendix to that book, he has, like, it's just like a one-page article, and it's called The Jewish Conspiracy Theory of the Bolshevik Revolution.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's appendix number two. That's available online if your listeners want to read it.
Oh, okay.
It's the website is bigeye.com. And then you just click Anthony Sutton, and you can click that book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. And what he does is exactly what you say, Mike. He runs cover for the Jews.
Yeah, and you know, no honest analysis of the Bolshevik Revolution can fail to address the very specific, very overriding, very powerful Jewish role in that revolution in the days that followed. So, yeah, that is a real problem with that particular book.
Yeah, so, I mean, if he's running cover on a major, major issue like that, it calls into question some of his other works. But having said that, though, Mike, I think there's a fairly good consensus that his three-book trilogy on the Soviet economic development and Western aid appears to stand the test of time.
Oh, you're referring, well, that's okay. I'm glad you brought that up because, right, I've never read Sutton's other books, which you're referring to. I was only referring to the three books specifically, the Wall Street series.
Right, right.
Yeah, but no, as far as from what I understand, you know, about what he wrote without having read those other books, I don't have any doubt that that's correct because I've seen enough information from enough other sources that there's no question about it that the United States was propping up the Soviet Union all during the Cold War, even during the worst times of the Cold War. Jim, stay on for the break, if you would.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Pfeiffer. We're going to the break. We're going through our phone calls tonight. Hopefully, we'll squeeze everybody in. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have a caller on board with us, Jim from Pennsylvania. Jim's comments reminded me of something in regard to another writer. Now, as you know, I've talked in this book, and we'll get back to Jim in a moment here. I've talked in this show about the book Super Mob by Gus Russo, and I think it's a fantastic book. I've written about it and talked about it many, many times. The book is full of cold, hard facts from which obvious conclusions can be made. Whereas a couple other books that Gus Russo has written, specifically two other books touching on the Kennedy assassination, I don't like those books. They're full of a lot of good, solid information that I think runs completely parallel to what I've written in Final Judgment, for example, and to what and what other people have written, even people who don't necessarily share all of my conclusions. But I think that in his books, Gus Russo, his books on the Kennedy assassination, Gus Russo goes in some directions that I think are, well, maybe incorrect. So I can take that same position here vis-a-vis the late Professor Anthony Sutton. His three books on Wall Street and FDR, his three books in the Wall Street series, I have some real problems with, and I feel that they're maybe, I don't consider them fabrications, but I think he takes a lot of leaps that just aren't just that aren't justified. Whereas, as Jim, you're still there, correct? Jim from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Mike. How are
you? Yeah, Jim. Yeah. Okay. So as far as Anthony Sutton's other works regarding U.S. trade in technology, defense technology specifically, to the Soviet Union. I haven't read them, but from what I've heard about them and all the other information that I've gotten over the years, I think he's probably very much on the mark there. So let's give credit where credit is due.
Right, right. I don't want to get off on this topic, but it brings up the whole idea of the Cold War basically being a hoax, a farce, you know?
Well, it really was. It really was. And, you know, I tell you, even my boss, Willis Cardo, who was, you know, he's certainly as anti-communist as I am. And I started out as an old-time anti-Soviet, you know, Cold Warrior, just like most conservatives did, you know, who got involved in the time that I did. But even Willis, in retrospect now, can look back on it and see how very much we were manipulated, particularly in the 1970s, by the people we now know as the neoconservatives. They were using, and of course these people were all Trotskyites, and of course the Trotskyites were against Joseph Stalin and the people who came in the wake of Joseph Stalin. So there were a lot of intrigues going on behind the scenes that really the traditional grassroots conservatives and nationalists in this country. We were being hoodwinked by these neoconservatives, like from the mid-1960s on through the 1980s. So, but the fact is, yeah, as we remember the Cold War, it was a fraud.
Right. Well, Mike, let me get to my other point now, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is where I disagree with you. As referencing to Carlos last night, I'm kind of with him in the sense that I really believe that you're analysis and perspective on the Hitler phenomenon in Germany needs a little updating, Mike. And in that regard, I'd just like to make a suggestion to you. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Jim Condit Jr. has developed kind of a semi-specialty in studying the Hitler era in Germany. He was given some information. He describes it as being mentored or tutored in some of the information that was provided to him several years ago. And he put together a video. It's on Google Video. All you got to do is type in Jim Condit Jr. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Let me tell you something. I haven't seen Jim's video. And, you know, I love Jim to death. I've had him on this show many times. But I have profound disagreements with Jim's thesis, precisely because a lot of that information that he has, well, I'll tell you one of the things that he cites, if I recall correctly, is a very famous work called The Red Orchestra. And that book, The Red Orchestra, I first saw many, many years ago. It's a fascinating book, and it contains a lot of truths. But I'm here to tell you that book, to the best of the information that I have, is another one of these fabrications. So, again, a lot of what Jim has presented in that video is based upon material that really doesn't have any reality. I shouldn't say it doesn't have any reality behind it. In this particular case, that thing, that book, The Red Orchestra, is in fact an orchestration. And there's a lot of other material in that regard. It's a very, very interesting argument that Jim presents, but I have profound disagreements with it. It might be interesting sometime to get Jim on the show after I've had some time to really take a look at his video in its entirety, and then we could really go back and forth on it. But like I say, I disagree with that very profoundly.
Well, Mike, I was going to suggest that. I think that if you had Jim on, and I'm sure it would take more than one night to do the topic justice.
I think so.
But I'm sure your listeners would really, really enjoy that perspective. Now, just to mention also, you're aware of Christopher John Jurton is?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
On his website, which is JewishRacism.com, he has a three-hour interview of him interviewing Jim Condit and Christopher himself adding a lot of input. He apparently is very well informed on the topic himself, and he speaks German as well. So he mentions for example, some topics, some books that were written in German that even Jim Condit wasn't aware of, you know?
Yes, and I'm familiar with one of those books. I've never read it. I can't read it in German. But again, I'm familiar with some of the allegations that are made. There's another book that I'm pretty sure Jim cites. It's Hitler, Father of Modern Israel, or something like that. I've actually read that book. The book was first brought to my attention back in the early 90s. And again, that is another book that anyone who knows the bigger story and who has done their research knows that there's a lot of absolute fabrications in that book. And I regret that the book has captured the attention and the enthusiasm of so many people. Because, again, that's one of these books that is just not very reliable. So I'm familiar with a lot of that material. I am very much familiar with it. And it's, again, a lot of the stuff you have to take on faith, and that's exactly what Jim has done. I can't say the same for Christopher Berkness, but I know that a lot of the material that Jim cites in his video is just not correct. Not that he deliberately is trying to mislead people, but he's accepting on faith the reliability of these authors. So again, this is what happens when this information gets out there, and good people like Jim and like Carlos from California hear it. But like I say, the totality of the evidence from reliable sources contradicts a lot of this quote-unquote evidence coming from, like, this book, Hitler, the Father of Israel, or whatever the title of it is. But anyway, Jim, I'll tell you what. When I have the time, I will do precisely as I said. I'll take a look at Jim's videos, and we'll get him here on the show, and we'll just have a friendly discussion about it.
Mike, listen, one other thing real quick.
Go ahead.
On Christopher also, you might want to consider a separate topic. He himself has written a book called The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. And I'm sure.
Right. Yes, I'm familiar with that. Mm-hmm.
That would be a fascinating topic also to cover, you know?
Yeah, actually, that would make a great show in and of itself.
All right, Mike.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, very good call. Here's one of our good callers coming in to us from Chicago. It's Steve. Steve, what's going on in Chicago?
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay. Listen, when you go on Alex Jones, give us a heads up, because Alex is one of these people that puts the wrong construction on Hitler coming to power, and he uses the same argument. It's determinism all the time. And I agree with you. There's some things that just can't be planned, you know, such as that hurricane down in Louisiana. You know, some things do occur.
Yeah, that's
own.
Right. I mean, the thing, you know what they say, poop happens.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, if you use that same line of reasoning, this is a true story. I happen to bank at the same bank that Resco uses, the Mutual Bank. I go to the Villa Park branch. I've never seen Resco there. And I don't know that some of my money didn't pay for Barack Obama's yard sale or whatever you want to call it. So to you know, overinterpret it or misconstrue it to say, look, I installed Obama in power, you know, there's no truth to that. And that's what Alex is doing.
Well, that, you know, Steve, that's very good. That's a perfect analogy. That's right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. You know, I bank at a very responsible, very reliable family-run bank here in Washington, D.C., and I'd be surprised to hear that they were ever involved in any intrigues of any kind. But just because I bank there, like you say, that doesn't mean that I'm involved in their intrigues.
Right. I did not know that. I didn't know this until it came out in the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times. They don't go around advertising it, of course.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I called up is, are you following that Jesse Jackson Jr. case about how he talked to the feds and he said that he's been a confidential informant?
Well,
and
you know,
told him
Steve, I have. And you know what my take on that is? And I shouldn't say this, but you know my take on that is they must have caught him involved in something that he shouldn't have been involved with. And that's why he's been a confidential informant, because that was the deal that he cut.
Well, notwithstanding the fact that Jesse Jackson Sr. his half-brother is in the federal penitentiary. Noel Robinson is in El Rukin, and you can get into that. That's E-L space R-U-K-N. Look that up on the computer and the Gaddafi connection. And they're all into some of the Jackson 5 or whatever you want to call them. They're all into some kind of nefarious activity. But he's putting out the story that, you know, he didn't offer a bribe, so Sandy Jackson, Alderman Sandy Jackson, down on the south side there, his wife, meaning Jesse Jackson Jr.'s wife, did not get the lottery job that Desiree Rogers got, who incidentally was appointed to the White House secretary position. Now, what, is he inferring that, you know, that the position was auctioned off and that Desiree Rogers came up with more money than 25 grand? And why didn't he report this at the time? All of a sudden, he's had this sudden revelation. You know, he's held back on it for, what, 6 years?
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, he comes clean. And another thing, you know, some guy came up, and you have to really follow the mob politics here, but this guy named Cooley, he's a lawyer, and he's in the Federal Witness Protection Program. He's making some accusation, and this is uncorroborated. Now, this is how dirty it's getting. He said that Blagojevich was a bookie on the west side of Chicago. Well, that's kind of where I'm from. And Blagojevich is on the northwest side. He's up more up by Park Ridge and Evanston up there. And he's not by the western suburbs. But you see, this stuff gets in there, and I'm wondering if it isn't a concerted campaign from inside and outside to have a coup d'etat here and put some handpicked machine candidate in as governor.
Well, I tell you, you know, that there could be several levels at work there. If anything, I wrote a piece for American Free Press this week about this whole scandal, and I drew the parallels to what has happened, and I mentioned this on the show, what happened to Richard Nixon and to Bill Clinton. During Nixon's second term, he was completely preoccupied with Watergate, which then turned into a whole series of other scandals that started coming out. And that's exactly what happened with Bill Clinton. And the process resulted in the fact that both Nixon and Clinton, Nixon wanted to move against Israel, and he couldn't. And Clinton himself, as Jerry Falwell confessed, in an interview with Craig Unger for Vanity Fair magazine, he confessed that he and Netanyahu of Israel deliberately manipulated the Monica Lewinsky scandal, which was breaking, to put pressure on Bill Clinton to take pressure off of Israel. So this is one thing that could affect Barack Obama very profoundly during the next several years. My prediction is that this stink coming out of Chicago as a consequence of the governor's intrigues is going to spill over into all sorts of unrelated matters that it's going to put Obama on edge, and they will in effect have control over him that they would not otherwise have if the scandal had not come out.
I totally agree, Michael, but give the people a heads up, because I'll try to call into Alex and I'll bring this topic up about Hitler, because he's told me many times that I'm wrong about that, and I know you're better versed in it than I am. So I'll be sure to anticipate.
Oh yeah, as soon as I hear from Alex, I will definitely let people know.
Very good then.
Thanks, Steve. It's one of our good callers. All right, we have Mike from Wyoming. Mike, come on up. Another call from Wyoming.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How do you? I know. Let me anticipate your interview with Alex a little bit. Alex has had St. John Hunt on as a guest a number of times, and Alex is obviously convinced that St. John's father, E. Howard Hunt, was heavily involved, if not the leader of the assassination of JFK. How do you connect the dots between that theory and your book, Final Judgment?
Well, actually, you know, that's funny you bring that up, because in Final Judgment, I very definitively say that if there's anyone who knew anything about the JFK assassination, that it was E. Howard Hunt. But what's very interesting about the so-called Hunt confessions, if you actually look at them and listen to them word for word, although, you know, you're told by Alex and by the other people, such as St. John Hunt, that this is a confession, it's not a confession. It's E. Howard Hunt saying, well, I think, and what I suspect, and I believe that, blah, blah, blah. He never really says that he was part of the conspiracy. If anything, he says he was not part of the conspiracy, but he was aware that something was going on. So I think there's kind of a middle ground there. But E. Howard Hunt told so many conflicting stories about where he was several days before the assassination, where he was on the day of the assassination. You just really don't know. Mike, why don't you hang on for the break here?
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to the break. We'll continue with Mike when we come back.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
800-362-5848. Back, Michael Piper here with Mike from Wyoming, talking about E. Howard Hunt and his purported confession. You know, when I heard that Hunt's son was coming out with tape recordings, I was really enthusiastic and waiting to hear what Hunt Sr. had to say. And as many of you know, E. Howard Hunt once sued my newspaper, The Spotlight, for publishing an article saying not that Hunt was involved in the assassination, but that the CIA was going to frame Hunt for involvement in the assassination to kind of clear the air and just say, okay, well, it was some rogue agents. We didn't have any involvement in it institutionally. Well, what's interesting about that is, though, that when the tapes came out, it's very, very clear to anyone who listens to it with a discerning ear that these tapes do not have Hunt confessing to involvement in any way. And there's obviously a lot of speculation on his part. And the excerpts of the tapes that we have seen don't really even show the questions that Hunt's son addressed to his father. They're broken up in bits and pieces. It would be interesting to see the entire tape and to see exactly how the questions were framed, giving Hunt's father the opportunity to answer as he did. So I would recommend that people do look at those tapes that are on YouTube, excerpts from it. I've seen them on YouTube and I think even on Alex Jones' website. And you kind of can get a better handle of it and recognize that it is not exactly a confession. Mike, does that answer your question?
It does, but wasn't Hunt clearly recognizable as one of the hobos?
No, that's another story that came out. He does look a lot like it, but see, even E. Howard Hunt's son himself says, if I read it correctly, that his father claims that he wasn't, according to the purported confession, that the father was not involved in the conspiracy per se, that he wasn't in Dallas at the time. And it's been pretty much several people have looked into it and have identified the names of the guys who really were there in Dallas. So, no, I've never believed that Hunt was one of the three tramps. And secondly, neither does Mark Lane. Mark Lane never believed that when he defended Liberty Lobby against E. Howard Hunt's lawsuit. So, and in fact, in our defense against E. Howard Hunt, our key witness never even said that Hunt was in Dallas on the day of the assassination. She said that he was there several days before the assassination, meeting with Jack Ruby and Frank Sturgis and some Cubans. Mm-hmm. So even that, there's a lot of misunderstanding as to what exactly Mark Lane brought forth in the trial. It's very, very complex, and what has happened is that a lot of people have merged several stories together. For example, the story of the three tramps, and then the confession by the quote-unquote confession by E. Howard Hunt. It's not as cut and dried as it appears to be. So that whole subject alone, I devoted an entire chapter in Final Judgment to dissecting that. But I did say very affirmatively that if anybody has at least a very good handle of what happened in Dallas, it was probably E. Howard Hunt. I tend to think that what Hunt was involved with was setting up a phony assassination attempt on the president. That is, there were going to be shots fired at Kennedy, and that it was going to be blamed on Castro, and that would be used as a mechanism to a false flag used as a mechanism to invade Cuba, but that in fact the real assassins decided to make this phony assassination into a real assassination.
Yeah, clearly there had to be a lot of different groups involved, just like with 9/11.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Mike, we have to go here. Unfortunately,
thank you, Mike.
We could talk about this one forever, but I appreciate your call. Very good question. We had three other callers lined up here, Mike, Keith, and Dave. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get to them tonight, but we will be here Monday night, God willing. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for more good programming here on RBN. And it's not too late, folks, to send a nice Christmas present to RBN down there in Round Rock, Texas.
Hello, my name is...